Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we share things, as we have a swap meet. I'll give you what I have, and all you have to give me is your attention. It doesn't even have to be in good shape. Your attention can be soiled. You can have things stained on it, mustard stained. It can be ripped. I don't care. I'll take any kind of attention. I'm collecting them for charity. Hey, Uncle Hardy, read me a story. All right, nephew, I will. Hurry up before I die. You're not going to die.
How do you know that?
Well, I don't really.
I could die.
I know.
Everybody dies.
I realize that.
Everybody poops. That's a book.
Yeah, I've heard that book.
Everybody poops and everybody dies. And sometimes when they die, they pee.
Yes, I understand that. But I don't think you're going to die right now. You're young.
Young people die.
I understand that. And that's very tragic.
Why?
Why is it tragic?
Yeah.
Because they don't get to live a long life.
Why is a long life better than a short life?
Well, you get to experience more.
All that we ever experience is the moment. Everything else is memories. And sometimes when you get old, you lose those. So what's the difference?
So you're saying what's the difference between living in the moment as a young person and as an old person?
Yeah.
I don't exactly know.
Make me feel guilty if I die young.
No, I don't want you to feel guilty. You have no obligation to live a long life or anything.
Sometimes it's good to die young.
Oh, how so?
Well, first of all, why don't you read me some Kafka?
I'm not going to read you any Kafka.
Read me The Hunger Artist.
I'm not going to read you The Hunger Artist. That's a little bleak.
Why, you know, Kafka died 20 years before his sisters.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, his sisters got to live to experience the Holocaust and die in that.
Oh, that's grim.
Yeah, so see, it's no great shakes.
I understand.
Yep, memento mori.
Yeah, I understand that.
Send not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee.
Are you done?
I don't think people are going to realize what a great joke that is.
I don't either, but, you know, for those who do, I think they're going to feel rewarded. Oh, my friends, emergency, break glass in case you need love. On the other side of the glass is Hardy White waiting to love you. Come on, it's emergency, break it right now. We only have the moment. Enjoy this moment right now. Oh, I'm so blessed to be with you. Maybe we can do something together. I'm not going to read any Kafka to my nephew. Bless his heart. Emergency! There used to be a show on television called Emergency, and I used to watch it when I was a child. I'd watch it religiously, meaning I would bend down on my knee and fold my hands in prayer while I watched it. And one episode, there was a fella that had taken his tab, that you'd be able to remove your tab on a soda pop can, and then some people, instead of throwing it away, would stick it inside the can. And this fella had done that, and then he had ingested it and got stuck in his throat, and he was dying and choking. And so what they did is I don't know why they didn't have any equipment, but they used an ink pen for a tracheotomy, and that did it for me. That was the end of my ability to not have horrible thoughts all the time, because from that point on, I just thought that Randolph Mantooth was going to jam a pen in my throat or something. So, oh my goodness, life offers all sorts of scary challenges, doesn't it? Don't be afraid. Oh, don't be afraid, because we're together. Fear. Fear. Oh my goodness. Fear is a dark angel that grabs onto you and says, beware of other people. Other people are going to harm you. Now, we always need to look out for harm. That's a survival thing. But I tell you, we see it everywhere. We fear other people, and fearing other people leads to terrible hatred and bigotry and even war. Or biggery. I don't know, that's not even a thing, is it? Oh, my goodness.
One of the ways that I heard.
Full of love today. Why is that? Because I'm
right?
full of self-pity.
You say, whistle a happy tune,
and
no one will know that you're afraid.
Just whistle like that. The only problem is that if you whistle, then some kind of predator can find you. Because I was told that
it does. I don't know.
It's like having a easier to locate than low pitch sound.
So perhaps when you're afraid, what you should do is to like throat sing.
That kind of stuff.
Clean it all out. I want all that fear out of me. I want
to
sit on
the
toilet of love and pass all
that
fear.
Because
get it out
I was
there.
Studying
I don't care if I have
dinosaurs,
cramps.
And there
is
a dinosaur called a hadrosaur, and it's called that because
that
it's from South Jersey. Why is they called that? Because I think it was discovered in Haddonfield. So there's also a cherryhillosaur and stuff like that. But this is a hadrosaur, and it had on its head a didgeridoo. I know that sounds crazy. And it's so there's some hippie somewhere saying, oh, I'd like to come back like that with a big didgeridoo on my head, and maybe my hands are flaming chains. That would be wonderful. What a dream. But they had this thing, and they don't know quite what it was for, right? But some scientists believe that it was a resonator, so they could make a sound like that, loud, and warn other hadrosaurs. But because it's a low frequency and it's hard to pinpoint where it's coming from, predators, okay, such as the Philadelphia saur or something like that, can't find you. Isn't that remarkable? So low sounds. But you can whistle too if that makes you happy. What makes me happy? Hardy, what makes you happy? What brings you joy? What brings you love? What lifts you up? Other people. Oh, if you can overcome your fear of other people, they can lift you up. We don't need fear per se. You can survive without it. You can assess dangers without releasing a bunch of chemicals in your system that make you want to kill those or run away or something, right? So what do? We put our hands together. Now I don't fear you. I fear all sorts of things. I fear I'm embarrassed because I fear being judged. So that the fear is everywhere. And I got it all. It's all over my skin. It's like bugs. I can't get it out. I'm scratching. Oh, my friend, come here. Let me hug you. Oh, now they're on me. Oh, it's hard to get away. Being human is such a challenge, isn't it? I realize that. Oh, we think all sorts of crazy things all the time. Oh, I just want to, let me hold your hand. It doesn't have to be connected. If you want to take it off and just hand it to me, I don't know if you're able to do that. I can do that. That way you can go and do other things. Well, I'll keep your hand safe here. Do I need to feed it? Is it one of those hands that walks on, that at the middle finger is the neck and the head and the rest of the fingers are the four little feet like that? What do I feed your hand? I don't know. I'm going to have to trim its nail because it can't get its flesh all the way down to the food because the nail's blocking it. You got to keep those nails trimmed so that your middle finger can eat. Oh, I don't know what to say to you half the time, friends. I have this hour every week where I get to speak to friends and strangers. And sometimes I feel like I should say something enlightening, but I'm not that bright a person. I don't know what to say. And my only thing that makes me remarkable is I'm slightly more fearful than a lot of people I know. I am a lot weaker than a lot of people I know. And say, how can I turn that into a strength? Well, I can't. But what I can do is I can stand up and say, oh my gosh, you are not alone, or at least you're not Hardy White or something like that. Exactly. Hey, if you need a friend, you can't be that choosy, right? Have you ever been in a situation, maybe in a strange town, or maybe you're lost in the city or something, and someone shows you an act of kindness? Maybe they help you or they help you find your way or something. And then you find yourself absolutely falling in love with that person. You say, oh, thank you. I'm so glad. Thank you. That kindness, oh, it seems so huge. It's such a huge gift. If you are hungry, a little crumb can be an enormous gift. If you're full and you get that crumb, you say, oh, that's nothing at all. But it's the same crumb. Do you understand? Sometimes it's precious, depending on your circumstances. So there are people that listen to my show who say, what is this rubbish? This is not for me. This is not my cup of tea.
Well, maybe you don't need a cup of tea. But if somebody is cold and they need to be revived, a cup of tea is exactly what they need. So you won't always need that cup of tea, and you may not understand that some people may need a salve that both numbs and cools or something. I don't need anything like that. Yes, you don't. You don't, but someone may. I always keep an extra handkerchief in my pocket. I have one for myself that is snot encrusted, and then I have a clean one, and that one is for others. I carry that one for others. A handkerchief is worthless until you really, really need it. Oh, I should also carry some kind of puke bag for people, because, boy, you never... I was traveling with a child, and the child began to vomit in a cab, and good thing I had a cap with me, and that cap became the sick bag. So that's, you don't want that. You want a proper sick bag with you all the time. I try to anticipate what I will need and what others will need, and I try to have it with me, even if it's maybe it's a lozenge, or maybe it's a Kleenex, or maybe it's a Swiss Army knife, or sometimes people need like Jaws of Life, which I will keep in a backpack. I have a backpack full of all sorts of things. You know those dogs with the keg around their neck, and they're supposed to rescue people in an avalanche or something? Say, what do people in an avalanche need? A cocktail. Everyone knows that. And also you say, What's on the dog's rear end? Oh, there's a bag of olives hanging from its tail. That's so convenient. I one time went to one of those thrift shops or something, and there was a little valise. Is that right? Am I saying it right? Is it a valise? A little case? A little valise? Is that right? And I opened it up, and I thought, maybe this is a makeup case. My grandmother used to have a piece of luggage they don't make anymore called a train case. And a train case was a strange little kind of square luggage thing. You open it up and it has your cosmetics in it. I don't know what that has to do with a train. I'm on a train. I think I'm going to do some makeup or something. I really don't know. But this valise was a little smaller than that, and you open it up and what was it? It was a portable bar. It had little shot glasses in it. It had a corkscrew. It had all sorts of things for mixing your favorite cocktails while you're on the road. Because I guess when people used to travel, you'd say, I don't know, I have to have a martini at a certain hour. What if there's not a bar? What if there's not a mixologist available? I'm going to have my own and carry it with me. People were a little more prepared back then. You know, I'm going to, oh, it's just, it's like it's your works, but for alcohol. And that's crazy. But it also is intriguing to me. And I thought maybe I should put together a case with things that people need. What do they need? What will lighten their heart? So I put a little case together, and what's in it? Well, I put in there a ukulele. Now I realize a ukulele is not medicine for everyone. But sometimes I believe that ukulele is a joy machine and can bring a lot of joy to people, especially during a sing-along. And that's really what a ukulele and those instruments are for. They're portable so that everybody can sing together. And that's a beautiful experience. People like to sing. Music plays a strange role in our lives. Music is one of the last things that people forget when they have degenerative memory problems. They have Alzheimer's or other dementia or anything. They can still sing. They can still remember the old songs. So if you've ever been in a group of people that have some dementia or memory loss like that, you say, you know, let's sing. There's no business like show business. There's no business I know. Everything about it is creepy. Everybody involved in it is got some kind of thing, some sort of problem with their self-esteem. Everything about it commodifies art. Showbiz. Do we need it? And they will remember those words. Like, they don't remember those words exactly. They remember the correct words, which is that not ironic that I, who have supposedly an intact memory, cannot remember anything? I'm not very good remembering songs. I'm going to make a terrible, if I ever go through that, and why wouldn't I? Why shouldn't I? If it happens to anybody, why shouldn't it happen to me? People feel exceptional sometimes. Oh, that's not going to happen to me. That's why
when friends get sick, sometimes there's Job's comforters. Have you ever read the Bible? I know you haven't, because no one has, because I'm on social media and I see people trying to explain it and quote it, and they're wrong. And they've clearly never read it. For good or bad, I'm not saying it's a great work. I'm just saying it's hilarious how many people talk about it without reading it. I think the same goes with Moby Dick and other things, too. People love to talk about books they've never read. People love to talk about experiences they've never had. Oh, bless you. I know where that comes from. I'm not blaming you. We're all silly children. Even children aren't quite that silly. I like to get children before they know to lie, because lying is a sign of cleverness, because you finally figured out other people aren't in your head. So you figure that out, you start to lie, you figure out people aren't in your head. And then you got a lying child, and you say, well, that child is very clever, because he now realizes that I can't read his thoughts, and no one can read his thoughts. So a long time ago, our ancestors realized that we need to, at a certain point in a child's life, tell them that, yes, in fact, there is someone in your head. God is in your head reading your thoughts and judging you constantly. So there you go. So you can't lie. All right. And there we've put them into line again. But I'm going to say something. I don't think, even if God is reading your thoughts, I really highly doubt that he's going to rat on you. Seems out of character. So your thoughts are your own. And yes, you are free to lie. And you're free to say whatever you want to say. Isn't that something? Honesty is not always the best policy. So if you're hiding people or being persecuted, do you have Jews in your attic? I cannot tell a lie. Yes. Well, there you go. That's unfortunate. Sometimes we need to deceive. We need to deceive deceivers sometimes. That's not consistent. I have no consistent behavior. I have only my experience, and I have only really my feelings. I won't deal with that. I try to keep some things in my mind. Oh, yes, I try to see clearly. I try to believe something. And what I do is I try to prevent cruelty, and I try to prevent unnecessary pain. What's unnecessary pain? That's the pain we inflict on others. There's pain that comes from disease, and there's pain that comes from disaster, and there's pain that comes from just being a human being. But there's also pain that we inflict on one another. That is 100% preventable. So I am on a worldwide campaign to stop people from being jerky jerks. And it's not working. And so I've decided that I'm going to grow old and die. I'm sorry. Perhaps I'll grow old and die. At least I will perish. Everybody perishes. Everyone poops. Everyone eats. Everyone has earwax. It's just that some of our earwax is different consistencies because of our genetic makeup. Oh, I love our differences. It's wonderful. Sometimes there's not enough differences because apparently I look like 100 different people. People are always seeing, Hardy, I saw you somewhere. Really? Yes, there was a man with a white beard. That was you. Fantastic. Yes, that's me. I am all people with, well, did he have ears? Yes, I have ears, so it must have been me. Oh, sometimes we all look alike. So well, am I not unique? You are and you aren't. You are and you aren't. You know, every ant is different, but it's still an ant. It's just all, it's relative, isn't it? Oh, and your relatives. I was thinking this as I was taking a walk. If there is a heaven, am I obligated to meet up with past relatives? People have just said, oh, I know I'm going to see all my grandparents again. Is that necessary? Because some of them I took great pains to avoid in life. And if I felt like I was going to have to spend eternity, you know, sitting in their living room and hearing their stupid opinions. I don't know. I don't know what heaven. What is your heaven, Hardy? Oh, I don't think I have a concept of it. I think I've experienced great joy in my life, and it's usually from love. I get it when I see people that... this is when it's best for me, is when someone says to me, Hardy, you helped me. That's it. That's bliss for me. Why? Because it gets me out of myself. I don't feel this obligation that I've got this great burden to survive or be healthy, live for what. But if I know that I've helped and that I've made somebody else less miserable and that we can then, therefore, we can smile together, feel joy together, that's when life is best for me. Those are the moments I crave. I hope I get more of them. But one moment is always enough because that's all I can ever be sure of. My memories go by so quickly like car trains. It's like looking out of the window of your subway car that's standing still and watching another one go by. Everything goes by so fast. Oh, but you know, it's all filled with there's a lot of space and there's a lot of air in there. Do you ever get a bag of chips and it says, contents may have settled? And you open it up and it's mostly air. Your life is like that. It's mostly these moments of doing nothing. Sitting on the john or waiting for something or sitting at work waiting to go home. You say, I don't think I'm really doing anything productive. Those moments that we love most about life are kind of rare, aren't they? Why do they have to be so rare? Why do we subject ourselves to so much space like that? Why do we separate ourselves from others? Why? It's fear. Fear is constantly lurking around the corner. I'm just going to face it. They say if you have a dream and you're being chased by something, you should turn around and look at it. Look, if it's going to eat you anyway, you might as well face it and yell something at it, you know, while it's eating your legs. It's that zombie movie. While they're eating your legs, you yell, choke on them! Choke on them! That's what I want to do to my demons. If you're going to eat me, I'm going to turn around and go, choke on it, you demon! But a lot of times you turn around and the thing is not as scary as you think of. You say, oh, who are you? You say, I'm your demon. Not much of a demon. No, I was counting on you not turning around. Oh, yeah, because now that I'm facing you, you just look kind of silly. Do I? Yes. Yes, you do. And I'm thinking now maybe I'll eat you. I'm going to eat some demons. How are you going to prepare them? I don't know. I don't know. I want to be on the Great British Bake Off so that I can bring my demons for my ingredients and put them in my pie. I say, what kind of pie have you made? Bring your pie up to Paul Hollywood. I say, yes. What's in your pie, he says. And I say, well, it's got berries, because I like that. So it's got, maybe it's got cherries. That's it. It's a cherry pie. And I've added some demons. And then he eats it, and he goes, you know, the demons are not coming through. And I go, yeah, they are. They're not something that you can always taste, but... You know, you'll give them 12 hours and you'll know you ate the demons. And that's the way it works. I'm going to consume them. Brrr, I'm going to eat them up. Demons should fear me. Fear should fear me. There's nothing that fear should fear except a fear non-fearer. You can quote me. No, I can't because I don't know how to transcribe that. Don't bother. Never quote me. I'm not saying anything. I am not really saying anything, I don't think. Maybe I am. As the moments go by, I am so concerned with moments that I'm not, my sentences, sometimes by the time I get to the end of the thought, really have nothing to do with what the beginning of the thought was about. That's because that moment goes by and that's just a memory right now. Whenever I speak for a long period of time, I never feel any kind of urgency to make it cogent. Why would I do that? That's not how things work. That's not how things work in my experience. One thing happens, another thing happens, and I'm sure they're related on some cosmic level, but I don't always see it. I don't have to make a story out of things. Things aren't necessarily a story. Maybe they're closer to a poem. Maybe they're closer to a sound poem. Sometimes I think that. Sometimes I think the Ur Sonata is the most beautiful thing ever written. It's so true. You know, I hear the Ur Sonata by Kurt Schwitters, and I think, you know, when he says, "Vums bavrete se u," I go, yes, that is so true. That is truer than anything I've ever heard by John Donne, except that no man is an island. He said that. He said, no man is an island except island man. La, blah, la, 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 other stuff. Then he says some stuff in English, but the words are all switched around, so I don't know what he means. And then he says, you don't know, don't send somebody out to figure out who that bell is tolling for, because it's you, because you're dead. Therefore, you couldn't even tell the person to go figure out. You're laying in a coffin. I say that at funerals all the time. I say, you know who this funeral is for?
you. They don't really have a reaction because they're nonplussed. They can't say anymore. All corpses are nonplussed. You say, I don't get it. Well, I'm sorry. But yes, that's for you. I wonder if the dead can still hear things. I think the freshly dead can. That's why there are some traditions, and I've talked about this before. You know, spend some time reading to the corpse. After you say the corpse, why say it's still a person? I don't know. Is it, though? I don't think it's still a person. I always think an animated corpse is more of a person. I don't mean like a zombie. Well, that's a person, too, maybe. Who knows? Also, I think puppets are people. So, I don't know. I may be really wrong about things. But, say, oh, my, you know, maybe your brain's shutting down slowly. And you can still hear something. So, you can say, I'm going to read this book of poetry to my dead aunt. I'm not feeling so good today. I'm sorry, friends, if I make a lot of strange noises. It's because we're always fighting our body breaking down and decaying, aren't we? Oh, it's so natural. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I think, you know, because remember this. You're living in a culture that has to sell you everything, okay? They have to sell you everything. So to do that, you have to constantly be made fearful of your needs or things that are happening to you. You have to, because they want you to buy something. And this includes cures or anything. You know, you're sick, buy this cure. You can't be sick being, you know, that's not natural. So you got to do this. You got to do this to preserve your health at all costs. You have to do this to preserve, you have to buy the art. You have to buy the medicine, everything. And we do need art and medicine, yes. That's fine. That's very true. And we do need to preserve ourselves somewhat. But the advertising techniques depend on fear. So, you know, I like people to have smell 'em on, because sometimes body odor, while natural, is not so great always, right? So, but I'm against making people fear being fearful in order to buy a deodorant. It's like, you're not going to have any friends unless you wear this smell-em. Very good. You know, no one's going to love you unless you put on makeup. Your face must look like a strange China doll. China being the material, not the country, I think. A strange plastic face doll. Or else you won't be loved. But gosh, I love all faces. I don't know what's happened to me. I think maybe it came with age or just, I got to a low point where I started seeing beauty in all faces and all people, and I stopped wanting things from people necessarily. And that's when I was able to relate to them better, because I don't want anything from them necessarily. I don't need anything from them. Or I do need. Do I need or want? I get those confused. I don't know. So sometimes Twin Peaks helps me remember, because Mr. C, the Doppelcooper, he wants everything. All right, he has all wants and no needs. And Dougie has all needs and no wants. That is not an original idea to me. But I thought, which one am I? Am I Mr. C or am I Dougie? Or am I some combination of the both? What do I want and what do I need? Sometimes they're the same thing. I want and need peace. I want and need love. So those two things I know overlap there. So if you're going to make your Vin Diesel diagram, put that one in there. That overlaps. Those are two circles that overlap want and need. Oh, I'm so glad you're with me today. I get lonely. No man is an island. If they were, there wouldn't be any bells. There's no bell to toll on an island, so you'll never know when you're dead. You wouldn't know when you're dead. Well, you don't know when you're dead anyway. No matter how long your life is, you've lived 100% of it. I think of all things in percentages. If you die at 3 or you die at 100, you have lived 100% of your life. And everything else is just memories. And what are memories? Even if you remember a meal, you're not re-experiencing it in the memory. You're not really feeling that moment. You can't really recapture that joy. You try to, but gosh, it's about the things we do right now is what's important right now. You know, sometimes I've lost, I don't want to go into specifics, but I was recently talking to a friend, and he said, did you ever meet this friend that died? And I said, no, I never did. I wanted to. And that person said, I always wanted you to meet. And I said, well, you know, probably should have done that. The minute you had the thought, you should have made it happen. And that's the way I feel. We keep waiting. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I ask people that all the time, and sometimes they say, shut up, the 3 o'clock train. I go, okay, good answer. I'm not, you know, I didn't think that you didn't have an answer. I'm just curious. All right, could you leave me alone now? I'm sorry, sir. I just didn't want you to, you know, have regret. Regret's the worst thing ever. There's no point to it, first of all. You know, you make the decisions you make. In the time, a lot of people do have regrets. They go, oh, well, now that I'm dying, I wish I hadn't smoked. Hey, man, you know, that's fine. You did it. You did it. You made the best decision you could. We're so imperfect. You survive the best way you can. I love you anyway. Well, oh, my gosh, people make worse mistakes. And who's even to say it's a mistake? Believe me, there's no blueprint for this. There's no plan. There's no shoulda, coulda, woulda, anything. My gosh, we just have these moments. Don't have regret. Don't torture yourself. Please, give me a hug. Let yourself go. Let go of all that. Let go of your pride. Take your armor off. Why are you fighting? Why are you fighting me? I'm trying to love you. Why are you fighting me? I understand that. I understand that what I'm saying is not for everybody. And some say, oh, shut up, ridiculous, rambling person. And I think, you know, when people say you're rambling, I think it's the same kind of thing that leads you to say that music that you're not familiar with is just noise, right? You ever heard some? So I want you to listen to this song, and the song is. So, oh, that's just noise. It's just noise. Well, wait, just listen. Just for a minute. It's not noise. It's not noise. You're dismissing it. Maybe there is some content. There's always content to something. There's always some meaning if you want to bring meaning to it. Experience things. Let yourself experience things that you're unfamiliar with. A lot of people go and say, I already know what I like. Okay, that's fantastic. So you've basically experienced everything. No, but I already decided. You're shutting the door before the saints can come in. You see, you think everybody is in the club and you've locked the door. First of all, it's a fire hazard, but, you know, the saints are on their way and you've missed these beautiful things that are going to come because you already shut the door because you thought everybody you wanted was already there. You don't know. Please keep your heart and your mind open. There's all sorts of things. Your answer could be anywhere, but you might not be listening. You have to listen. And you have to pay attention. And you have to give things a little time. Oh, the impatience. Do it now, 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 now. Yes, now, I'm with you now. But to enjoy the moment, you have to have your eyes and ears open to the moment. You can't be lost in your memories, and you can't be lost in the projection of the future where you're worrying about what's going to happen. Everything I can say, I can contradict. Absolutely. Everything that comes out of my mouth, I think, well, that's not necessarily true. I do think that, so you don't have to point it out. I realize that. You know, you can say things to a person in one situation. That's not, for instance, let's say that you are about to go back to a colonoscopy, have a colonoscopy. I say, no, don't eat those peanuts. Right? But in another instance, that person might be having some kind of low blood sugar incident. You go, eat those peanuts. So eating the peanuts, it just depends when you eat the peanuts. That's the way with truth. Something can be true in one instance and not true in another. Something can be a good rule in one instance and not in another. But if you just rigidly adhere to something, you might miss out. You gotta stay flexible. Be like water. That's what Bruce Lee said. He said, be like water. Was he like water? I don't feel like he was super like water, but you know what? Maybe sometimes he was, and I don't have... This is going to sound crazy to you. So, Hardy, do you have heroes? No. I love people. I love most people. I love all people in theory, and I love some people in reality and practicality. I love them. And others I just love theoretically. You know, I don't have any heroes. Do you have any gurus? I have no gurus. No. Anybody can be my teacher. People who have information, I like get information from them, but I don't require them to be perfect or exactly like I want them to be or without any kind of horrible flaws or to be great, perfect, loving people. So no, I'm more devoted to ideas. I'm more devoted to feelings than I am to individuals, because individuals, who knows what's going on, because we're a load of contradictions. So I try not to attach it to a certain person, you know? I'm my own guru. I'm my own hero. I'm the only one I can be sure what's really going on in their head, and I'm not even sure about that. I'm not even sure. I don't know. My mind is like a house. And I've been in some of the rooms, and some of the rooms are locked. And then I understand that there's a basement. And then I heard that there's a sub-basement. And I haven't even gone in there. I don't even know what's going on in there, but it affects what I do. So isn't that crazy? So I hardly even know myself. How am I going to fully know others? I can kind of guess. You probably have a house in your head, too. And I know you've at least been in the kitchen in your head house. What's that analogous to? I don't know. But if your head is a house and a real house has a kitchen, then your head house has a kitchen.
What do you use it for?
Nourishment.
What kind of nourishment?
Probably emotional or something. I don't know. Here I'm just guessing. I'm just taking a stab. I'm stabbing away. Oh, stab, stab, stab in the dark. I hope I don't kill my friend. Maybe I should stab with a feather instead. There was a Australian TV show called The Boobies or something. I don't know, forget what it was called. I'll remember in a minute. Not remembering is always way more fun than The Wiggles. That was right. Nah, see, that's less fun. That's much less fun than The Boobies. But there was a fellow named Captain Feathersword, and he's a pirate, but he had a large, it looked like an ostrich plume, as a sword. And instead of stabbing people, he would tickle them, which I think is sort of equally offensive or intrusive. But it's certainly less harmful. You don't draw blood that way. I think tickling can be aggressive and horrible. He had this little feather, maybe dusted with it. I didn't watch it that often. He could have used it to dust on high shelves. Arr, I'm going to dust your high shelf. Children love that. Children love watching people clean. There should be just a show like that. It's just follow somebody, you know, vacuuming or something. Kids would dig that, I think. Would they? They would if we told them it was cool, maybe. I don't know what children like playing with boxes and stuff. So maybe their entertainment should be a little more simple, have a little more room for their mind, a little more room for their imagination. As they get older, we cut that off more and more. So when they're little kids, we'll give them some clay or some boxes, and they'll make a whole world, and they'll make this wonderful thing, and they'll imagine stuff. And then as they get older, we make the toys more specific. Say, yeah, don't that clothespin isn't a person. Here is a realistic-looking doll that looks exactly like a person with realistic-looking clothes. Okay, well, I'll still imagine that this box is their house. No. Look at this realistic miniature house. All right. When we do that over and over again to the point where we've been robbed of our imagination. There's no room for it. I guess they don't want you to live in your head. They want you to live in an imaginary head where they can control your thoughts a little better. Are people trying to control our thoughts? I don't know. That thought happened in my head, so it may be me self-oppressing. I don't know why you came here today. I don't know why you turned on the radio. Maybe you're hearing me for the first time. Maybe you're hearing me for the last time. Maybe it's somewhere in between, and you listen to me regularly or irregularly or whatever, and you're saying, why has this happened? Is this some sort of wonderful miracle? I think it is, because maybe we're going to change each other's lives. Who knows?
Maybe we're setting each other up for a wonderful experience, for a wonderful moment. That's what I'm all about, and this is a wonderful moment for me.
Every time that we're together, my life stops, and I go into a different sort of time, an elevated time, a sacred time, somewhere out of time and out of space. Oh, that's a lot of people call that religious experience or something, where you don't think about what's going to happen in the future and you don't think about what's going to happen in the past. It's a sort of heaven. You say, oh, I don't have the burden of being alive right now. I don't have to think about all the fears I have about being sick or dying or losing people I love. I don't have to think about all the things that have happened to me in the past, all the pain and the tragedy, all the things that I no longer have. I don't have to think about that. All I have right now is right now, and I have an excuse not to think about it. We're outside of time, you and I.
Hello. Hello, Hardy. Come on in. Where are we?
I don't know. I just woke up and I found myself in this large white room.
It's like the Matrix. Let's try to imagine that there's a rack of weapons.
No. But I like being in this empty big white room. Maybe we are outside of time and space. That's what I imagine.
Do you? Well, I'm glad we're here together.
I am too, because it would really be horrible and lonely to be outside of time and space with nobody.
I hear you.
All right. Give me a high five. Come on. You're leaving me hanging.
I don't really high five.
All right. Well, you know, some people don't shake. Some people don't high five. I understand that. But hey, all we have right now are each other. We have only each other. When I was little, if something was bothering me, and this is, I know a lot of people did this too, I'd turn to the radio. I'd get under my covers with a transistor radio, and I'd try to hear something far away. Well, some of that's a lie, because the transistor radio didn't have all the, usually it was my world band radio. I had a world band radio, and I was having a discussion with a friend recently, and it reminded me of that I used to go through that dial and try to hear mysterious voices from other worlds. I didn't know where they were coming from. You could hear people talk, and you say, what have I just tuned into? I feel like a spirit. I feel like a ghost wandering the world at night. And I never felt safer than when I felt like a ghost listening in to someone else speaking. Where are they? Are they in another country? Are they on a ship somewhere? Are they on an airplane? Where are they? Who are they? And what are they saying? It was so mysterious and wonderful, and I felt outside of my body. I felt like a spirit. I felt free, and I still cling to that memory of feeling free like that. And I thought, if I grow up and I am able to give someone else that experience of feeling truly free, of feeling confused, a feeling that they are encountering the mysterious, then I will have fulfilled the most wonderful dream I have ever had. And now I'm doing that. I'm able to speak to you. Hey, are you a little kid? Hey, little kid, I was a little kid too. I encourage you to get under those covers. Now, I don't want you to lie to your parents or whoever's taking care of you or your evil step aunt or something, but I want you to be able to let your imagination soar and know that you are truly free in your head, and they can do things to your body, and your body can let you down, and they can imprison your body, but your mind, don't let them have that. Don't let anybody have what's inside. Don't give that up. That's yours. You can say whatever. You know, if they make you say something, say it, but you don't have to believe it. Oh, no. You know, we say all sorts of things to survive and fit in. I understand that. But you don't have to carve it in the walls of your beautiful head palace, your mind house. I don't want to say mansion because we don't have a mansion. My mind palace is actually a suburban split level. It is certainly not a palace. It's just a modest home. I mean, I'm thankful for it, but, you know, it's got the bathrooms need remodeling and everything like that. It's not great, but it's mine. It's my mind suburban house. It's my mind split level. It's my mind, ranch home. It's my mind, shotgun shack. It's my mind, faux tutor, silly apartment building. It's my mind. I love my head and I love my imagination. It gets me through so much. Oh, hey, I don't need your fears. I got my own I'm trying to get rid of. I'm sorry. I'd like to babysit them, but it's like pets. I've already got a lot of pets. I'm dealing with them. They're fears. I have them around. I've domesticated them, so they're running around here. I live with them. I'm not afraid of them anymore, but I do have to encounter them every day. But I really can't take care of yours. So I'd like to drop my fears off, and maybe you'd feed them. I don't. I bless you. But here's what I recommend. You know, actively understanding and training your fears so that they listen to you and they cooperate, right? Instead of controlling you. You don't want to be controlled. Oh, it's like a spoiled child. I want a pony. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. We don't have any ponies.
I must have a pony now.
No, I'm sorry, honey. Well, I'll try to go get you a pony.
Get me a pony.
Oh, excuse me. Are you actually my child? Or are you sort of the embodiment of my fear? Of not being able to do what's expected of me. Hello? Where'd you go? Oh, I chased it off. It was just an embodiment of my fear. It wasn't a spoiled child. I don't have to get a pony. I don't even know where I would start to get a pony. I think they're expensive. Now, by pony, do you mean a miniature horse or just a young horse? Because if I bought you a pony, eventually it's going to be an old horse, and then it's going to be a really old horse, and then you're going to, I mean, are you always going to take care of it? So there's that. Maybe you shouldn't ask for a pony. I like to just visit ponies. There's a lot of things like that in my life that I don't really want, you know? I like career. I like to visit careers. I don't want my own, necessarily, because there's so much maintenance. You know, so you have a career? You know, how do you do it? I like to go visit other people's careers and enjoy them and then go home to my lack of one. That doesn't bother me at all. There's lots of things I don't have that maybe people expect you to have. You know, I don't always, for instance, I don't always, I know I have a beard, but you have to shave even though you have a beard because I'm her suit. I'm not going to pretend I'm not. And the hair gets away from you. And I literally, the older I get, I have, except for the top of my head, hair everywhere. It's just coming. Oh, it's crazy, right? I didn't think this was going to happen to me when I was 9. But, oh, it's sprouting everywhere. And it's a little bit hideous. I realize that. And that's fine. I'm not trying to be a model. I'm not trying to reproduce. I don't need that. So that's fine. I don't mind that my ears look like, I don't know what they look like, hamsters or something. Bless me. But I know that I don't want to disgust people, so I try to clean myself up a little bit, so I look a little bit handsome. That way, if you want to take a picture with me, people don't go, "Oh, who is that person? Have problems?" Yes, but not the problems you would think. Why are we together? Is it chance? What happened to lead up to this? Did you turn on your radio or the computer? I don't know. I'm so thankful. Would you like, you know, here's a thing. I'm going to talk about something very sensitive. We need some new words for things. And I'll tell you why. There's something I really enjoy, and it's so corny. And you're going to say, oh, Lord, really? Yes. I like, and I only like doing this with people who are into it. I like maybe standing in a circle and holding hands with people, okay, and saying things out loud that we desire or wish for. Now, when that happens, you think, you know, oh, what do you mean, like money or? No, it's funny, because when you get together with people like that and do that, most of the times people don't wish for things like that. You know what they'll say? They'll say, I wish my friend wasn't sick anymore. I wish that people had more compassion for one another. I'll say, I wish that the war was over. Why is that? Because they're physically connected to others. And because there's something powerful about that. So we're holding hands and we're sharing our desires and needs with one another. out loud so we can hear them and so others can hear them, so others can understand what we need. Now, if I said, come on, hold hands and pray with me, you'd go, oh, no, 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 I'm not a religious person. And then we miss out on that. Now, I've actually done that with people who are professed atheists, which is fine. You can believe anything you want or nothing at all. But the human heart needs to cry out. And the human heart needs to tell others its desires and its needs because we cannot fulfill them by ourselves. The Gilligan's Island has taught me so much. And every day I give thanks for Sherwood Schwartz. And you say, that's crazy. But Gilligan's Island and all the corny things he did, you say, oh, they're corny. But you know what? Please revisit them. Because sometimes there's very special messages coming out. And there was a time where all the Mrs. Howe and Ginger and Marianne got up and were a singing group. And they sang this. Say, you need us. You need us, like that. And I want to say this. You need me, even though you don't think you do. So I don't need you. You're all lowly. No, you need me. I need you. That's the only way we're going to get what we want. The only way to get off this no man is an island, but we're on an island. Maybe we're stranded on an island. How do we get off? We're going to have to use all our powers together. We're going to have to combine them. The Gilligan's Island castaways. The castaways are my Avengers. The castaways are my Avengers. Gilligan, bumbling idiot, big heart. Right? What's he got to offer? A willingness. He wants to help. He doesn't always do it right. The skipper. He wants to lead. Does he always do it well? No. He's also bumbling. Everybody is imperfect on that island. Everybody is a silly caricature. Everybody is so fully human. And so they all need one another to survive. And they may never get off that island. But right now, they're living with one another. We live with others. We are surrounded by other people. And we surround other people. There is no greater hell than living around others who do not care if you live or die. Do you feel that way about your neighbors? Are there some that you care not whether they live or die? Whether they are in pain or not? Oh, yes, I care about. Do you, though? And what about others that don't care about you? How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel that people that are sharing and that should be cooperating in your survival on this island, and believe me, everywhere we live is an island, don't care whether you live or die? What if the skipper didn't care whether Gilligan lived or died? Gilligan would probably perish. We all would. And we're all spiritually slowly dying. Because the less we care for one another, the less we care for ourselves, because it's all so meshed in there. Don't you understand? Don't you understand that it's a closed system? That this elevator doesn't have any ventilation? And if you let one rip, we're all going to smell it. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand that you crave and desire this love or respect? You got to give it. You are different and strange and weird. We all are. And so, yes, you're going to have to deal with people who are not exactly like you. But don't be afraid. Turn around. Look at them in the face. They're not demons. They're just other goofy, failed demons like yourself. Oh, that's why I love everybody in theory, because everybody, you know, could be a friend. And I don't know until I meet them, but I'm not going to say ahead of time that they're not. Everybody's a potential friend until you prove me wrong. So that's where I'm coming from.
I don't know what to say to you every week. I don't know how to entertain necessarily. I don't know how to write jokes. I don't know how to think of things that are funny. I've tried to. I'm going to sit around. I'm going to try to think of something funny. Okay, let's say, airplanes. What's up with that? I can't do it. I just can't do it. I've never been able to think of a joke.
You thought of that John Donne joke?
I did, but that was an accident. That was an accident.
All right.
And it was a pun, and I don't know that those count.
Point taken.
So I don't know if I've given you anything that you need. That's what I feel like I'm doing. I feel like I knock on your door every week. Knock, knock, knock. Who is it? It's Hardy. Hello? I know you're in there because you just said, who is it? All right, dang it. And you open the door and said, can I come in? Well, no, not really. All right, here I come. And I've got a big box of things. I was cleaning out the attic, and I brought over everything. Why'd you do that? Well, I don't know what you might want. Why don't you go through it and look? And you rummage, and you go through it, and you look. That's the way I work. That's not the way other people work. Other entertainment and other things like that, other art, is going to bring you something that they think you already need. But I don't. I know I'm bringing you a lot of junk. I want you to be able to cull through it. One of the most fantastic vacations I ever had is my mother took me to go gem hunting in North Carolina. And you go and you pay and you go in the stream and you go looking for an emerald. And will you find an emerald? Probably not. I did. Actually, I found a little rock. It had some kind of sliver of emerald in it. Wasn't worth anything. Wasn't valuable. But I did find something. But I had to go through a lot of mud to get it. And that was exciting to me. That was more exciting than walking into Tiffany's and saying, oh, how much for that emerald? $10,000. I'll take it. That's not exciting at all. It's exciting to go through things, 1,000 things, and then find one thing that's worth something. It's exciting to listen to 60 minutes of a radio show and find 15 seconds that you like. And believe me, listen to this. See if you'd be willing to do this. I've been on this radio station now, I think, 7 years. I do a one-hour show every week. That's about 50 shows per year times 7. I don't know how many, 350,000 shows or something like that. Of that, how many minutes? Times it by a bazillion. Sometimes people will say to me, I've listened to your show. Here's what I got out of it. Out of those, all those hours, 300 and some hours, all right? Tens of thousands of minutes. This is what I got. Oh, that's wonderful. That's beautiful to me. You got one tiny thing. I don't mind that you didn't need the rest of it, that the rest of it was just old shoelaces to you. Why would that matter to me? And this is the only medium where I'm allowed to do that. Put out a lot of things. See what sticks, see what you need. It's just a flea market. Just a flea market, friend. That's what I'm trying to do. I know you may not need a rusty old pair of calipers, but I got them here. Should you need them? I've got other things. Look at this ashtray. What's that from? Oh, that's from Stars Hall of Fame in Orlando in the 70s. Really? Well, I don't think so. I don't know that they had ashtrays. Why? Because wax figures do not like fire. Fire! Oh, wax figure was sad. I saw the wax Buddy Ebsen from the... Beverly Hillbillies exhibit. Fire! I'm melting, he said, as I was burning him with a cigarette. I did not do that. None of that happened. But you can imagine it happening. I love wax museums. And that's all. I'll just leave you with that. Oh, my friends, again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being with me again this week. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. So, thank you, friends, for being with me, and I will see you again next week.